All right. Morning, everyone. Get to finish the fifth parak of Becharos and start number six. We have one more sugya to do to finish off the fifth parak. Hashochet es bechor. So you shecht your bechor, but no deslo haro. And after having shechted it and having sold the meat already, so then the scandal breaks. Papers report. Local Yiddish newspaper reports that he didn't show, it was a bechor, and he didn't show it to a chacham, okay? And so the buyer, who was unaware of this, is now going to turn to the seller and say to the seller, now that's not right, meaning it was a bechor, you need to show it to a chacham, and you didn't show it, and that's not right. So the Mishnah says, v'nodesh lahar, masha achlo achlo, now what's eaten is eaten. It's a funny line from the Mishnah, what's eaten, it was eaten, I mean... not exactly a halachic statement. I mean, you ate, right. The yachzer lahem adamim. However, the sale... Huh? Right. The yachzer lahem es adamim. But what you need to do is you may need to make a full refund of the sale. The sale is just simply considered null and void. Meaning even the part that you ate, you're going to totally just ignore, meaning as if you didn't eat it. And so therefore, there needs to be a full refund of the money that was made, that was earned. And what about the part of the animal that you didn't eat? Well, the part of the animal that you didn't eat is now presumably a bechor tam. It's an unblemished bechor. And so consequently, it's asur b'ana. So what are you going to do? You're going to return it back to the owner? The owner can't... I should rather say the seller. Seller can't do anything with it either. Okay, good. So that's the first ruling of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah now looks for a full refund. And what's interesting in the Mishnah, we'll get to in just a moment, is that you get a full refund even though you ate some of the Bechor. You enjoyed some of the Bechor. Granted that what you ate was Aser. But you did get some benefit of it, but still the sale is considered totally null and void, and a full refund is made. And now we'll get to a case which is unfortunately more common and more popular, and that is that you shecht an animal and you sell the animal, and it turns out that what you sold was treif. So here it's more egregious. Why do I say it's more egregious? Because at least in the case of the bechor, it's possible the bechor was a baal mom. He just didn't show it to a chacham. Not showing it to a chacham is, you know, as we discussed earlier, that's totally unacceptable. You must show it to a chacham, and but at least there's a possibility that it's aser. Here it's mamash treif. It's a treif. So masha achlo achlo masha lo achlo he yachzir lo asabaster v'hu yachzir lemes adamim. In this case over here, so there's a full refund even on the part that you ate, and you have to return the meat, the unused portion of the meat. Now here, how is it that you can return the unused portion of the meat? Because it's only a treifa. Treifa is not aser b'hana. Treifa is only aser b'achila. You're not allowed to eat treif, but you're allowed to benefit from treif. So as long as you're providing a full refund, so basically we're saying the sale is null and void. If the sale is null and void, so everything returns back to its principal party. The meat goes back to the seller, the money goes back to the buyer, and that's it. Right. I guess it may depend. May depend. Right. Right. V'hu yachzir lemes adamim. Machru lo v'kochavim o itilu l'klavim yashlimu d'mei treifa. Now, what if the buyer, in turn, then sold it to a non-Jew? Meaning he actually turned he made a little bit of money on it. Or he gave it to his dogs. So in other words, so he didn't actually benefit from the meat. He didn't actually eat the meat. But he got a little bit out of it. So, yashlimu d'mei treifa. So there's going to be a refund. But what we'll do in this refund is we're going to deduct. Meaning, you did get some value from this meat. You sold it to a non-Jew. You fed it to your dog. You did get some value of the meat. Now, you brought the meat at, you know what the current rate is about now. It's $10 a pound, depending on what cut you buy. But in other words, you bought the meat as if you were going to eat it. So in other words, you paid a lot of money for it. Meanwhile, you got treifa value out of it. So in terms of the refund, so the treifa value will be deducted from the full price that you paid. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara is... Tanur Rabbanan. Mocher basu chaver v'nimsa basu b'chor peros v'nimsa tevalim yayin v'nimsa yayin esef mashach loch l'v'yach z'olem esadamim. Okay. The Gemara introduces us to a Braisa, and the Tanakama of this Braisa is our Mishnah, one in the same. And the Mishnah says that as far as the refund is concerned, a full refund, Tanakhama, the Braisa, same story, full refund. And then we're introduced to another opinion, which we did not see in our Mishnah, and that's Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Devarim Shah Nefesh Katzabahem, Yachzer Lehem Esadamim, Vishayin HaNefesh Katzabahem, Yinak Lehem Esadamim. And Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, look, if it's something that's disgusting, which he'll give in just a moment, examples of Shkatzim, Veramatzim, Nevel, and Trefa, if it's something disgusting, so then we're going to demand a full refund. If it's, however, something that's not disgusting, and you ate it, and it's despite the fact that it was prohibited, and you should not have eaten it, but again, here you didn't know any better, you weren't the wiser. So here Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, the fact of the matter is that you did get some benefit from it, and so therefore, on the refund, that's going to get deducted off the refund. The Elohim Varam Shanefesh Katzabahem, what is something that's disgusting to people? Nevelos Trefesh Katzim Varamasim. The Elohim Varam Shaina Nefesh Katzabahem, Becharos Tavan Vyayin Esech. Now, if it's Shkatzim Varamasim, right, worms and insects and all those wonderful things. Yeah, I know. I didn't understand that as well. Maybe it was part of the meat. Maybe it was chopped in the meat. I'm not really sure. It's kind of strange how a sale of Shekets Varamasim were made and nobody knew about it. It's difficult to understand, but still the point is that if it's something that's disgusting, and had I known that was what I was buying, I never would have even eaten it, so then there's a full refund. But if it's something like, and he gives examples, Bechor meat is just as good as non-Bechor meat. And Tevel. Tevel is produce, right? Grapes, where you didn't take off too much of my sauce. Now it's Oster, we understand, but it's not disgusting. It's not something where people would stay away from it, or Yayin Esech, or wine that was used in some form of Avodah Zarah. So again, it's Oster, we understand that, but in terms of taste and you know how appetizing it is, it's still pretty appetizing. So what Rav Shimon ben Elazar does is like this. If it's something which is still appetizing and you benefited from it, so that's going to get deducted off the refund because you did benefit from it. If it's something disgusting, had you known that this was either trefa or nevela, it's disgusting. In other words, I wouldn't have even eaten it. You know, again, isser aside. So there's a full refund. Now, Bechor, the Gemara says, now wait a second. V'le malei mayav siletech. Now, when it comes to the Bechor, so the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, you're going to deduct off the refund. I don't understand. You say to the seller, you just sold me a Bechor. It's a Bechor tam. And the animal's dead. Like, what good is it to you? Meaning, it's... You would have had to get rid of it anyway. So why are we taking away from the refund? So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, maybe what happened over here is that it was a sale of a Bechor, and I sold you a cut of meat that actually had the external portion of the animal, and you actually were able to see the blemish on the external portion of the animal. Now, you remember back? We just had this discussion. I shecht a Bechor, I didn't show it to a Chacham. Can I show the mum to the Chacham after I shecht it? Controversy. Debate. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, what we could have done is I perhaps could have shown it to a Chacham, assuming that we follow like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, over a week ago, said in the Mishnah that you can show it to a Chacham even after it dies. The question of does a blemish undergo a change post-mortem? Rav Yehuda says it does not undergo a change. And so perhaps over here, that's the case that we're talking about, in which the seller can say to the buyer, look, we're gonna do a refund because there's a possibility at least that I could show this to a Chacham and he may say that the meat is in fact permissible. Tevalem hava mitakne luhu v'achana luhu. As far as Tevel is concerned, that's easy. Because by Tevel, okay, now you're not allowed to eat it. Now it's prohibited, but all I need to do is take off Shemas HaMaitzos and then it'll be permitted. And Yayin Nesach, now yeah, what about Yayin Nesach? Meaning, someone sold me Yayin Nesach again, let's go over the case. He sold me Yayin Nesach, I drank some of the Yayin Nesach, and then discovery was made that he sold me Yayin Nesach. So again, the Tanakhama and our Mishnah say full refund, fine. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says you're going to have to deduct that which you drank. And the Gemara is like, and the Gemara is asking again the same basic question: Why are we deducting anything? It's Yayin Nesach. Well, what? He right. I give it back to him. What is he going to do with it? So the Gemara says, "Ay de tarovis." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, there is a possibility to sell yain nesach." Uche Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Again, you have to limit yourself to one person's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the dan yain nesach shnaf labor. If you have yain nesach that falls into a pit of wine, kulo aser bahana. The Tanakhama says it's done. It's over. Not only is the entire pit of wine prohibited to drink, you're not allowed to get benefit from it as well. So according to the Tanakhama, there's really nothing to do. There's nothing left to talk about. It's asa b'shtia and asa b'hana. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, yimacher. But Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you're allowed to sell it. Kula lov de kochavim, chutz mi dimei yayin nesach shabo, with exception to the yayin nesach. So in other words, you're allowed to make really a full sale of that tarovis, but you're not allowed to, with a deduction of the yayin nesach. So at least there's a possibility of selling the yayin nesach ayidei tarovis, and according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Probably, I would say derabanan. Yeah, the stam yenam. I think so. I believe so.
Yeah.
I think so. Five prakim. Okay, hajran lech kol psula mukdash, and that is the end of the fifth perek. Speaking of five prakim, so that's the end now of the fifth perek of Becharos. Okay, we're about to now start the sixth perek of Becharos. Okay, if you remember Chulin, if you like Chulin, you're going to love the sixth parak of Becharos. What if you don't remember anything from Chulin? That's not true. We remember a lot of what we learned in Chulin, but Becharos is going to be more or less the same as the sixth parak, in that we're going to now discuss, blemishes. Understand, there's a basic difference between what we were doing in terms of anatomy 101 back in Chulin and what we're about to do right now. In Chulin, we were trying to identify what makes an animal a trefa. And so for that, it's basically an internal issue, meaning we're looking at organs, we're looking at what is going to curtail the life of an animal if that organ is severed or punctured. And we went through the 18 trefas mentioned in the third parak of Chulin. Here, when it comes to Bechor, we're looking for external physical blemishes. In other words, for a Bechor to now become a Baal Mum, to be a blemished animal, it has to be no longer to be fit to be brought as a carbon. A carbon, the Torah demands time and again, needs to be tamim. It needs to be perfect. It needs to be unblemished. And so therefore here we're looking for physical blemishes that can be seen by the eye. So in other words, if there's a blemish in the animal that's internal, that's not a bamu, we need something to be external. We'll go through the psukim today, klal uprat, klal uprat uklal, all the basic drashas, but the basic idea is it needs to be something which is external to the eye. And we're not going to start with the eye. We're actually going to start with the ears. Meaning, we're going to go through, piece by piece, the animal, and we're going to identify with detail in terms of what are actual physical blemishes. Now, it'll be interesting because we're really having two discussions almost simultaneously. Meaning, because we're going to be discussing now physical blemishes for animals in order to render them disqualified to be brought as a carbon, which would then mean that you would be, by a Bechor, in the case of a Bechor, it's simply allowed to take it home and eat it. Okay? And at the same time, we're also talking about human beings as well. Human beings, sure. A Kohen cannot do the Avodah if he's a Baal Mum. If a Kohen has a physical blemish, similar to that which we're describing here, if a Kohen has a physical blemish, so he also is going to be disqualified. He cannot. So it's interesting, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash demands shlemus, it demands perfection, okay, and physical perfection. And so this is going to be the course of our discussion over the sixth perek. We're doing ears today, tomorrow we're doing eyes. We're going to do nose and lips the day after that, teeth and gums, okay. And we will spend almost an entire 2 days? No, day and a half on the private area of an animal. Okay, that'll be slightly uncomfortable, but we'll manage. Some of us in this room are mature, not me. Okay, tails. Okay, we're really covering the basic anatomy of the animal. And again, I don't mean anatomy. I mean really the external portions of the animal. So today, our first discussion starts with ears. Al eilu mumshe shochten es habechor. So these are the blemishes that you get to shecht a bechor. Nifkama azno min hachaschus. So a nick in the ear. Okay, now, I'll try to use words precisely, even though I'm not 100% sure of what I'm talking about. But when we say a nick in the ear, we don't mean a slit, just simply a cut of the ear. But it means there has to be a nick where there actually is a piece missing of the ear. Avalo ha'or. If it's just some of the skin missing, so that's insufficient. That's not going to be enough. But it actually has to be a part of the cartilage. Right? Rashi here quotes French, tendrine. No? No. Okay.
I don't know.
Now, why does it need to be cartilage? Why can't it just simply be the skin? So Rashi writes in the Mishnah, because skin regenerates. Right? Rashi writes, second Rashi on the Mishnah, avalo min ha'or, dehada barye, because it's going to get better. It'll regenerate. Avalo havimum, or hainu, aliyah raka shel ozen. So the or is the aliyah raka, it's the soft part of the ear. It's the skin of the ear. Okay, so that's number one. Number two of the Mishnah, there are going to be four separate blemishes mentioned in the Mishnah. Number two, nistik afa pi shelo chasra. A slit, a stock is a crack. You have a slit in the ear, so a slit in the ear will render it a mum, even though it's not actually missing a piece of the ear. Okay. Three, nikva melo karshina, a hole in the ear, a piercing of the ear. Ear piercing will render it a blemish. I know this is going to sound funny, but stay tuned because we're going to talk about it later on. A kohen that has an ear piercing cannot do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Right. Because an ear piercing is going to be a blemish. Now you'll say to me, huh? A place we could take this conversation, which I'm just really foreshadowing the Gemara later on, is that what if you have a Kohen who's an Eved Ivri, right? And he says, Ahavti es Adoni, I like my place of employment. I like you. I like working over here. I'd like to continue working here forever. So what does the Torah demand? Right? That you have to pierce his ear. So what essentially the Gemara is going to wonder later on is that if this Kohen wants to continue doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, how can he get an ear piercing?
Isn't
he an Eved? Eved over here, Eved Ivri, is not really a slave. It's basically, you know, employment with a long-term contract. No severance package, After Yova, he goes free, but he's not Nevekanani. The simple point is, he's a Jew. He's a full-fledged Jew. He's chayvin every all the mitzvahs, fine. Okay, so stay tuned. I'm just foreshadowing the Gemara later on. Shiyavsha, or if the ear dries up, right? To what degree are we talking about dry up? Ezehu yavasha, kol shetanake ve'eino motzia tipas dam. So the Tanakhama says that it dries up to the point where if I were to put a hole in the ear, in that portion of the ear, there's no blood that comes out. Right? Totally, totally dried. And Rav Yosef ben Amishulam amar yavsha sheitei nifreches. And Rav Yosef ben Rav Yehuda says, you know how dry we mean? Dry to the point where if I rub it with my fingers, it'll just simply crumble. That's how dry the ear has to be. Okay. Four different mumim that we're discussing vis-a-vis the ear. Before we talk in specific terms, let's talk now in more general terms. The Torah doesn't breathe a word about the ear. How do we know? We start off with a really big question. How do we know that there's such a thing as a blemish by the ear? We're describing now that the animal that has any one of these four blemishes of the ear is now going to be considered bamum. Where does this come from? So the Gemara starts off, Amai pisech ve'iver ksiv. Torah describing blemishes says pisech ve'iver. Right? Either the animal's pisech, it's lame, or it's iver, or it's blind. That's it. So ksiv nami ki yebamum. So the Gemara says, okay, but it also says it has a blemish. So the Gemara, you know where the Gemara is going with this discussion, name a ki yebamum klal. So let's say it like this, the ki yebamum, that's a generality. Pisech v'iver prat, that's a specific. Klalu pratim b'klalu masha b'prat. Pisech v'iver in midach v'inelo. You know how klalu prat works. So only those two examples and nothing more than that. So the Gemara says, yeah, but keep reading in the pasuk, kol mum ra. Any blemish. So now what do we have? Chazur klal, klal pradu klal, yet adan elakena pram. Ma pram mefurash, momen shebegalu ve'ena chazrin, avkol shebemomen shebegalu ve'enan chazrin. So we go klal pradu klal, ein beklal shema beprat. So we look at those examples as prototypes. And we look at what the common denominator of those examples are, and that's going to be the definition of mum. That'll be our blemish. Now, there are two features that the Torah is telling us. Number one, it has to be mum shebegalui. It has to be external. A lame animal, you could see that it's lame. Iver, blind animal, you could see that it's blind. So it has to be shebegalui. And a non chozrin. And there's no opportunity for the animal to heal. Right, if the animal has a gouged out eye, that's not going to regenerate. If the animal is lame, meaning it has a not just a fracture, or in other words, it's what we're talking about, where the animal really cannot walk, is not ambulatory, so it's eina chozer. The aim of the Gemara continues. Maha prat meforsh mom shebegalui uvotel memlachtov eina chozer afkol mom shebegalui uvotel memlachtov eina chozer. The Gemara says, why don't we add a third feature? In other words, pisech o iver. Why don't we point to the following? If it's Piseach, it can't walk. If it's Iver, it can't see. So in other words, maybe the blemish, the Torah is telling us that the blemish has to be such a blemish where the animal cannot function. Maybe functioning is now going to be an important element in defining what a blemish is. And so ear, you have a piercing of the ear. So what? Animal could still hear. You have a slit in the ear. So what? Animal could still hear, so maybe a blemish would require that it lose its function. So the Gemara says, and this is what the Gemara refers to as "botel mi mamalachto." So ve'nechozer afkol mom shebegalu botel mamalachto ve'nechozer alama tanan nifka ma'azdom inachizchos ve'lo mina or. So the Gemara says, and why then is just a simple nick in the ear going to be? That's going to be a mom. So the Gemara explains like this: kol momra ribuihu. So the kol mumra is a ribuy. Now it seems, the Gemara is not super clear about this, and it certainly seems from Rashi that this is a case that we're shifting now, meaning we're no longer going to work with klal uprat, but now we're going to work with ribuy umiyut. Okay? And ribuy umiyut is a, more is going to come out of ribuy umiyut than klal uprat. Klal uprat is a generality and a specific, and so what we're doing is we're really limiting the number of examples that are included in. Ribui umiyut. Ribui is basically everything, and miyut means that we'll exclude a couple of things, but more will be included in. So it seems that what the Gemara is doing is making a shift. Now, I'm not 100% sure how this is working right now, meaning the Gemara is, I'm asking and I don't know the answer. The Gemara is now abandoning Rabbi Yishmael and going to the ribuy umiyut path. From Rashi, that's what the Gemara seems to be doing, right? Dechsiv kol velo darshin alei beklal uprat. We're no longer darshin in klal uprat. We're now doing ribuy umiyut. So it could be that we're making that shift. Is the Gemara now suggesting that even Rabbi Yishmael is going to make that shift right now? I really don't know. I'm not sure. But the Gemara says that this is not klal uprat, but rather this is ribuy umiyut. So the Gemara says, once you're now operating with ribui miyut, and once you're incorporating a whole lot more, so why don't we even talk about hidden blemishes? And meanwhile, we're going to see a Mishnah later on. So if you have teeth, so if you have the front teeth where there's a chip on the front tooth, right, or there's something wrong with the gums, the front gums, so that's a blemish, because that's visible. Everyone can see that. However, if it's penimios, if it's molars, right, teeth that are further up, so there, you need a total removal of the molar for that to be considered a blemish. Nekru in nifkamu v'nigamamu lo. When it comes to the back teeth need to be totally removed, not just a little chip on the back tooth. So, be'inan, I'm sorry, so, and the Gemara is basically asking the question, why should that be? Meaning, once we're now in the world of ribu umiyut, so basically any blemish, even blemishes that are concealed, any blemish should be rendered a mum. So the Gemara says, bi'ina mum ra veleka. No. In the case of a blemish, the Torah also was clear, it has to be mum ra, a bad mum, What does that mean, a bad mum? The Gemara is assuming that bad means visibly bad. It has to be a blemish. It could be, in terms of the criteria of a blemish, we'll relax the rules of what the criteria is going to be. Meaning it only has to be something that doesn't regenerate and something that's visible. But it has to be visible. Why does it have to be visible? Because the Torah describes it as being ra, bad. So the Gemara says, okay, but once you're working with ribui, and once we're basically amplifying and saying any blemish, how about even a passing blemish? A mum over, which we know, it's right, it's been doctrine since day one of Becharos, that if it's just a passing blemish, that's not good. That's not enough to disqualify it. But why not? If we're now operating with ribui, so maybe even a passing blemish as well. Alama Tanan, and meanwhile, we learned in the Mishnah of Alam Mina or... So our Mishnah told us that if it's just a little nick in the skin of the ear, that's not a big deal, because that'll regenerate. But what do you mean it's not a big deal? It's a blemish. So the Gemara says, "Mum aver svarahu hashta mifrak lo prakinan ilave mishcha shachtinan ilave." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you, it's really it's a logical argument. Look, you have a regular carbon, not a bechor, just a regular carbon, and it gets a mum aver, it gets a passing mum. Can you redeem this animal? No. It still has Kedushas HaGuf. So the argument of the Gemara is basically like this. If a mum over, if a passing mum, is not going to be enough to allow me to redeem the animal, it won't be enough to permit the Bechor. Now, Ditanya, how do I know that a mum over is not enough for redemption? We learned in a brisa, V'im kol behema tamei asher lo yakrivu memen karban l'Hashem. The Pasuk says, any animal, behema tamea, where you couldn't bring it as a carbon, bibale imam amakasav medaber. Torah is speaking here about a blemished animal. Atom, bibale imam shenifto, hakasav medaber. We're talking about blemished animals, and I know all behema tamea mamish. Torah says behema tamea. It sounds like Torah is talking about non kosher animals. Kishu amr, vi'imbe behema ha tamea, hare behema tamea amor. Yeah, but if you look contextually over there, the Torah goes on to say, "V'imbe behema tamea," meaning the Torah already dedicates a parsha there to non-kosher animals. Hama'ani mekayem asher lo yakrivu mimenu. Haviyamer zebale momem sheniftu. That's talking about blemished animals which were redeemed. Yachlo yifto amom over. This is a part of the brisa that we're interested in right now. How about redeeming an animal, a carbon that only has a passing mom? Tamalama asher lo yakrivu mimenu carbon la'ashem. No, because for redemption, I need this animal to be disqualified from being brought as a carbon. Now, mi she'eno kreva kol ikar, meaning it has to be disqualified for good. Yatzazu she'eno kreva hayom ala machar, as opposed to this animal over here, which today cannot be offered as a carbon, but just wait a day, and it could be offered as a carbon. I bayis ema imkein pisech v'iver lamalei. Okay, that's one approach. So again, the question on the table is, how do I know that mum over cannot be enough to allow the consumption of a bechor? So one answer is svara. Svara tells me, well, if I can't redeem the animal, had this been a regular carbon, it's not enough for me to eat the bechor. That's one answer. Second possibility, look at the examples of the Torah. Torah only gives two examples, but look at them. Pisech and iver. Pisech, the animal's lame. The animal's going to be lame forever. The animal's blind. The animal's going to be blind forever. Meaning there's got to be a reason why the Torah gives those two specific examples, if not to tell us that a passing blemish, a temporary blemish, is simply not going to be considered a blemish. Okay. Now, that was our big discussion of the day. The big discussion of the day is, how do I know that these blemishes not just apply to being lame or blind, but apply to other parts of the animal as well? So I really don't, I'm not sure how to give it to you in one sentence. Meaning the Gemara tried klal lo prado klal. The Gemara didn't like that so much. Gemara then transitioned to ribu umiut. Sounds like the Gemara's conclusion is it's based on a ribu umiut. That we know that not just blindness and lameness is a disqualification, but basically any physical blemish on the bechor, head to tail, and we're going to actually encompass the entire animal. We will talk about the entire animal over the course of the sixth parak. But anywhere head to tail where it is a blemish and it's permanent and it's not going to regenerate would in fact be considered a blemish of the animal. Okay. We go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentions four disqualifications of the ear, and the Gemara is going to pick it apart one by one. Nizdika afa pi shalo chasra. So now we're talking about a stock, a split of the ear. Tana Rabbanan hasada kol shehu, ha-pegima bein bidei adam bein bidei shamayim. The Braisa says that when it comes to a split, any split, and when it comes to a pegama, nick, so there, whether the nick was made by humans or whether it was made by God, meaning a natural event. The Gemara says, well, if you read the Braisa carefully, it sounds like by a split, so Michlal de Sedek Bidei Shamayim Lo, a natural split of the ear is not going to render the animal a blemished animal. But the Gemara says, I don't understand that. What difference does it make? So, Ela Sedek Ubegima Bein Bidei Shamayim Bein Bidei Adam. Okay? So, what we're going to have to say, really, is that it doesn't matter how it got the blemish, meaning whether it was done by a human or whether it was done by nature. It doesn't really matter. Now, by the way, you understand, when we say by human, we don't mean that the Kohen actually did it with the intent of permitting it, because, as we all know, that was the topic of discussion in the fifth parak of Becharos, that will not permit it. It just simply means that, right, the human, by accident, either he didn't know or it was a slip of the hand, put a nick or a split in the ear. The Kamashir Pegima Kadesh Tachkor Bot Sipor. Now, we say a nick. What do we mean by that? We're familiar with the shear. The Gemara gives the shear all the time. Right back in the beginning of Chulin, we use the shear, if I remember correctly, for three different halachas. Right, in other words, what you do is you rub your finger along the ear, like much like I'm doing with the edge of the table, and if your fingernail gets stuck, that's a nick. So where do we say that? We use that shear for the knife of Shechita. We use that shear for now establishing what the nick is by a bechor. Anyone remember where else we use that shear? It's a funny place. But there's a third place in halacha where we use that shear. Okay, time is up. The mizbeach, by the mizbeach, right? And the mizbeach has got to be gazit. It's got to be smooth. The stones have to be smooth. How smooth do they have to be? Same shear. Kedei shetachkor bo tzitziporin, so that your finger run along it. Okay, what happened? Where'd I go? Nakva Malay, yeah. Nakva Malo. Malo, Malo Karshina. Okay, a hole in the ear, now a piercing of the ear. Okay, so we're talking about ear piercings now. So Tana Rabbanan Kama Nikva Ha'oz and Malo Karshina, Rav Yos, Rav Yehuda Omer Bech Adasha. Okay, here in the Braisa, we have two opinions in terms of how big a hole in the ear does it need to make in order to render the animal a Ba'mum. So the Tanakhama says, Malo Karshina, a Karshin is a food eaten by an animal. It's called vetch. Doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know what we're talking about. Okay. So apparently it's a small, I'm not even sure what it is, to be honest. But basically, it's slightly larger than a lentil. Okay. It's a hole in the ear. That's what I got. So Malo Karshina. And Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Omer Becha Adasha. He says a lentil. The Ezu Yevesha. Now, when we say it's got to be dry, Shim Tanaka Ve'ena Motzia Tipasdam, Rav Yosef Ben Meshulam, Omer Yevesha Kadeshi Nifrachas. Okay. This machlokus we already saw back in the Mishnah. How dry does dry have to be? So one opinion is prick it and no blood comes out. And the other opinion is rub it with your fingers and it'll crumble. Now, Tana, now we learned the Braisa, and the Braisa says, Krovim Divrehem, Liyoshavim. These, even though we have a machlokas here, now the truth is we have two machlokasim over here. One about the hole, the size of the hole, and the other one is how dry is dry. Their positions are not that far away from one another. Pretty close to one another. Now, which machlokas were we talking about? That's the Gemara's next question. Shavim divrehim deman. Ilema de Tanagam Rav Yosef ben Abishalom Tuva Ika. So the Gemara says, that debate of dryness, that's a big difference. Meaning the difference between putting a hole in the ear and not having blood come out versus crumbling it with your fingers and rubbing it with your fingers and it'll crumble, that's really far apart from one another. So the Gemara says, Ela de Tanakama Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, Ka'adasha in Batamech Adasha, I'm sorry, Ka'adasha in Batamech Adasha Lam. So the Gemara says it's that machlokas. That machlokas of the size of the hole of the ear, apparently the vetch and the lentil are really not that far away from one another. Okay. Now, the Gemara, I read one line quicker than I should have. Ke'adasha in batmecha adasha lo. So that now means that if the hole of the ear, you pierce an ear, if the hole in the ear is less than an adasha, no big deal. Okay? You're right. It's not going to be a mum. Virman, the Gemara says, and here's the part where I'm going to challenge you on. Where, now we go to Eved Ivri. So here's the part of the Gemara's discussion I told you about, it was coming up in the Mishnah. We know like this. You have a person who is now employed, indentured as an Eved Ivri. He's a Jew. I know we use the term Eved Ivri, but he's not Eved in the classic sense. As an Eved Kanani, he's still a Jew. Full-fledged Jew. Chayv and all mitzvos. It just happened. He has certain heterim. Right? The most notable heter, I would say, by an Eved Ivri is that he can marry a Shifcha Kananis. Okay, but I mean, and that is exceptional because... a regular Jew, a full-fledged Jew, would not be allowed to marry Shifcha Kananis. Okay, fine. So, nevertheless, so for all intents and purposes, he's a Jew. And he says, Ahavti es Adoni, es Nashai ves Banai, right? I like my master, I like my wife, my new wife, and I like my children, so I want to stay with you. So the Torah says, fine, beginning Parshas Mishpatim, right? We're all familiar. And I want to stay with you, so the Torah says, okay, so here's what you do. You take his ear right to the doorpost, and you know, the famous Rashi over there in Chumash, right? Why did he take his ear to the doorpost? Because, right, the same ear that heard that you should be my Evitz as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you shouldn't really be the Evitz of somebody else. So it's almost like a message being sent out. And, but still, that's, okay, that's the Musar, but the basic halach is that he pierces his ear, right? His right ear. So mechadash lo v'rimino marzeh en li'ala marzeh menan l'rabos. Now the Torah says that you pierce his ear with a marzeh. Now a marzeh is an awl, A-W-L. It's in my toolbox. I got one. It's good. It's a good tool to have. So en li'ala marzeh menan l'rabos hasul v'hasira v'hamachar v'hamigdach v'hamechatev. How about other sharp instruments? Some of these I know. Some of these I don't know. A toothpick, a splinter, a needle. Mikadeach is like a chisel. Oh. Or mechatev, or a pen. Okay. Tama lomar velakachta, kol devar shal nekach b'yadiv Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says velakachta. Drill? Okay, drill. Okay, yeah, wonderful. What a great image. So diver Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Now, according to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, any instrument is acceptable. Any sharp, pointy instrument is acceptable. For him, what's important is the word velakachta. Anything that's nilkach biyad. Rabbi Omer Marzeah, Ma Marzeah, Miyuchad Shal Mateches, Avkol Shal Mateches. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, has to be metal. Has to be metal. Right? Like a toothpick is no good. Toothpick is made out of wood. And by the way, some of the wood may get stuck in his ear, but I'm not sure. It's not a medical issue. It's a halachic issue. Torah gives the example, Marzeah is metal, so it has to be metal. Marzeah miyuchad shal matechas al kol shal matechas. V'ketani seifa amar av yudan b'rebi, hayadosh kishen rotzen, ein rotzen ela b'melas. So when they would drill through the melas. The melas, the earlobe. So v'chachamim omrim ein eved ivri kohen nirtza mimneshenase balmom. Now, here's the important part. The important part for us, for our discussion, is the position of the chachamim. Let's say a kohen is now in this position of being an eved ivri. Okay? And he wants to now become an eved ivri la'olam. You can't do it. Because if by doing it, you're going to make him a balmom. Okay. And so now we are prepared, after given all this information, we're now prepared to formulate an intelligent question, which is the following. The Imtom Rebbe Mela, so you wrote to him, Hech Eved Kohen Nasa Balmom, Ha Ein Rotzen Ela Begovah Shel Ozen. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So here, we just already explained that it goes through the Melat. The Melat is the lower part of the ear. It's not the cartilage of the ear, it's the fleshy part of the ear. It'll regenerate, it'll cure. So it won't disqualify the Kohen from serving in the Beis HaMikdash and doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the big deal? In other words, okay, so let him get his ear pierced. He's not getting it's not a Balmum. Amar Rav Chana Bar Kitin Lo Kasha Kan L'Shchot Kan Lifsol. So the Gemara gives really a fascinating answer. Now, there are, what the Gemara now is going to do is basically give us 2 degrees of disqualification. Meaning, we are talking about, the sixth parak of Bechoros is talking about a degree of mum which would allow me to eat the Bechor. That's what's called lishchot. Okay? And so I'm looking now for a blemish that'll be so severe that I would be now allowed to shecht it. And then there's a degree just short of that, which is just a posel, which will just be a disqualification. And now what the Gemara is suggesting is that, in terms of what we are talking about in the sixth parak of Bechoros, our discussion is revolving around what will make it a, what will give it enough mum so that I could shecht. I'm looking for that kind of mum. Here, though, when it comes to the kohen and the hole, and the hole is going through the lower part of the earlobe, and it's the fleshy part, and it's not the cartilage part, that will disqualify either the kohen or the animal to be brought as a karbon, but it won't let me shecht. Okay. And the Gemara now is going to move on after this and just go on to now a new topic of discussion. But let's just spend a moment here talking about this, because if you think about it, it really, where did the Gemara get this, that there are now 2 degrees of mum? Meaning, up until this point in time, I know we just started the sixth parak of Bechoros, but basically a blemish is a blemish. Either it's a blemish or it's not a blemish. And now what we're discussing is that, no, there's level A of a blemish, which means that I can't use it as a karbon, but I still can't shecht it yet. I need to get one level above that. Where did that come from? So take a look at Tosfos over here. Tosfos discusses this very issue. Kan l'shchol, kan l'psol. It's the fourth Tosfos down on the page. Sure, it's a short Tosfos, but it really is important just in terms of understanding why are we talking now levels. Midapasol kohen mashma dehavi mum da'araisa. Look, if a kohen can't do the avoda because he has this blemish, you know what that means. It's a mum da'araisa, it's a blemish. So then what's going on over here? So Tosfos writes like this. V'shema hai de'ein shochte mishum de'ein nikar yofe v'gazrinan atu mumim shebeseser. Approach number one of Tosfos. Right. If it's a fleshy part of the ear, really the truth of the matter is it's a blemish. Okay, it is a mum. However, the problem is that it's not super visible. Right? You take a look carefully at the ear, the piercing of an ear. Sometimes you don't even see the hole. It's a hole and it's there, but sometimes you don't even see it. And the Chachamim were worried. If we're going to be matir that, so then people will say, oh, so the blemish doesn't have to be a revealed blemish. It can even be concealed blemish. So what the Chachamim came in and they said is, even though minatar it's a mum, but nevertheless, in the world of in the world of blemishes, we're going to say, wait. Wait till it's more obvious. Wait till it's more visible. So the first approach of Tosfos is, this is rabbinic legislation. Meaning really there's only one criteria, one level of blemish. But the Chachamim were worried that if it's not that visible, so people confuse this blemish versus a really concealed blemish. Okay, number one. Tosfos goes on. Inami, hide the mifso kohen mishum de'eno shave bizarro shal Aaron. Approach number two of Tosfos. Maybe this is an Aaron halacha. This is a kohen halacha. Meaning, what we're going to now do, says Tosfos, is distinguish between blemishes by an animal and blemishes by a kohen. Meaning, I told you, this is going to be one of those big topics throughout the sixth parak. All right, are we going to easily compare physical blemishes of an animal to that of a human? And Tosfos now makes a suggestion, maybe over here that's what's going on. Maybe in terms of an animal, it'll be a blemish. A hole in the ear is going to be a blemish. Is not going to be a blemish. But regarding a kohen has a higher threshold. Why? Because Zaru Shel Aaron. Because in order for Kohen to be in work doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, he has to be physically similar to Aaron. Aaron did not have an ear piercing. This Kohen also cannot have an ear piercing. So maybe blemishes in that regard are going to be of a higher threshold for Kohanim. One other approach of Tosfos. Inami mum overhu ve'inan shelo yipasel afilu fi sha'ah mishum dekasa v'shava mishpachto d'dashin b'gdushin le'mutar shebe mishpachto. Okay. Also, Tosfos makes a third suggestion. Maybe by a kohen, a mum over is going to disqualify. Meaning, if you pierce the ear, and it's in the lower part of the ear, it'll regenerate. Is that a blemish by animals? No. As we've discussed, we've identified from the beginning of this perek, it has to be a permanent blemish, right? Maybe by a kohen, a temporary blemish will disqualify him from doing the avoda, right? The Torah demands that he has to be v'shav el meshpachto, he has to go back to his family. Meaning anything that will temporarily disqualify him will simply be a blemish. So Tosfos makes a number of suggestions in terms of how it is now that we're talking about degrees of blemish.
But is a kohen permanently disqualified?
Hmm?
Is it permanently?
No, in other words, he's not. But in other words, at least now, in this stage that he's in right now, he temporarily won't be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Back to the Gemara. My Karshina. Amrav Sharvye Hinda. So what is a Karshina? So the Gemara says it's the Hinda. Okay? And that helps all of us. Again, the Hinda is... I told you, it's Vetch. Rashi right here on the Gemara says that that's what it is. Okay, now, we're given this kind of grain, this bean, where the hole has to be big enough where the bean goes through. Gemara now is going to ask a super technical question. Does it have to be that the hole is big enough where the Vetch can actually go through, pass from one side to the other, or big enough where he's just going to get stuck in that hole? I know it sounds like a very, very technical question. Amar lo zu lo shamati. But he takes the question with a lot of seriousness and a lot of consideration. And by the way, I mean a lot of consideration. Follow me. Kayotze bo shamati d'nan. We'll start with a Mishnah in Olos. And the Mishnah over here discusses the following. Hashedra v'al gugol shechasru kama chisaron b'shedra v'lo yeh metame v'oha. Skeleton, bone, does not give off tumas ohel. Unless you have the skull and the entire set of vertebrae. Okay? Remind me, please, how many vertebrae in the human body?
Depends.
Sound like you're starting to sound like me now. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Okay. Okay, so 24 vertebrae of the human body. So, if you have the entire vertebrae, all the vertebrae of the human remains, that will give off tumas ohel. If you have a skull intact, that will give off tumas ohel. A simple bone of the human body, a simple bone remain, is not going to give off tumas ohel. It will give off tumas mago masa. You touch it, you carry it, you'll be tamei, but not tumas ohel. For that, you need shedra vilgugolas. You need the backbone and you need the skull in order to give off tumas ohel. And what Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai will be debating is how much of either the vertebrae or the skull needs to be missing in order for it not to give off tumas ohel. Mishnah in Olos. Hashedra v'al gugolos metame ba'o Beis Shammai omrim shtei chulios v'esol omrim chulia achas. So Beis Shammai says two vertebrae and Beis Hillel says one vertebrae missing. I know this is a brain teaser, but I'm gonna tease it anyway. Who's more mako, Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel?
Both.
Okay, so Beis Hillel is more mako, right? Right. So in other words, because for Beis Hillel, the amount of vertebrae that needs to be missing in order for this remain not to give off tuma is only one vertebrae. Meaning, according to Beis Shammai, if you take one vertebrae away, it still gives off tuma's ohal. So the correct answer is Beis Hillel. Over Gogolas, Beis Shammai Omrim now. How about the skull? How much needs to be missing from the skull? Kamala Mikdach. So Beis Shammai says the size of a drill hole. Uveisila Omrim, apparently back then, by the way, there was one standard size. I mean, nowadays, you know, you buy the whole set. So Uveisila Omrim, Kadeshi Natal Menachavi Amos. Now Beis Shammai says the amount that you would take off from a live human being. And that person would die, meaning that kind of exposure would kill the human. Now, good, but what is that cheer? Amalei Rav Tachlifa Barav Dumi Lehachi Amar Shmuel Kisela. Ve'itmar Rav Safra Amar Shmaitata Amalei. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Masnisa Amalei. So either it's a Shmaitata, it's a sugya of the Amorayim, or Masnisa, or it's a Braisa. Either way, Visimancha Tini Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. And the Gemara just gives you a little help in terms of remembering. Tini. Tini means it was a Braisa. Did not. Now, if that's how you're defining a hole in the skull is the kisela, so then it comes out that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are identical. How do I know that? Did not. Ma'or shelo nasa bidei Adam. The if you have a light. Now, let's pause. This is an awkward place to stop. But this is going to be a long thread over here. And basically, all this is to answer the question of when you put the vetch through the ear, the hole in the ear, does it have to go all the way through? Or does it have to get stuck in that hole? So this is now going to be a long thread that's going to take us all the way back to explaining that answer. Okay? Tomorrow we'll pick it up from this point in time. And stay with me. Right in the middle.
Don't fetch.